Hello, everybody, and thank you for tuning in to the Liberty Report. With me today is Daniel McAdams, our co-host. Daniel, good to see you.
How are you this morning, Dr. Paul?
I am doing well and ready and raring to go in our new week and see if we can find out some good news today, maybe. But unfortunately, since we talk about our foreign policy, it seems like our foreign policy is not going in the direction that we would like. So we have to keep looking at it and see if we can make some positive suggestions on how they can change it. But today we want to talk about the nemesis that we have in the military-industrial complex. Evidently, one of the most powerful groups in the deep state are the arms manufacturers. They are really very powerful. You know, even when the two parties get together, or even when Trump wants to cut back, except you don't cut military. And you know, the whole idea of antagonism and having an enemy, like right now, it seems like Russophobia is a convenient thing. So not too long ago, we got out of that nuke treaty. Trump got us out of that nuke treaty with Iran, which stirs up more trouble and an incentive to have more weapons. But just recently also, there was the incident with Saudi Arabia. You know, the subject came up, and Trump says, well, we can't punish, the Saudis for this possible murder and this sort of thing, because it's business. You know, he didn't say that, but he says, we have a lot of money invested in their jobs, so it's very powerful. So that was an overriding issue and not the wisdom of us being close allies with Saudi Arabia. But right now, over the weekend, stirs up, you know, another treaty. It looks like it's going to get canceled, and Trump is threatening. He's serious about it immediately. It's not Pompeo this time. It's John Bolton off to Moscow in order to find out whether we should get out of this treaty that has existed since 1987, the Bush-Gorbachev treaty, which limited the development of intermediate nuclear weapons. And you know, up until recently, nobody's been, you know, complaining about it. But all of a sudden, you know, the Russians are doing it. The Russians are doing it. And they've been doing it for years, and we have to stop it, and we're going to get out. And you figure, are they really serious? Is it a threat? We have the Chinese effort concerned because China, we're annoying them at times. We're in their backyard with our Navy. And Trump, of course, makes the point, well, they're outside. They're not. They haven't signed this treaty, so they can build all these intermediates that we need. So we need to deal with this. So we have to blame Russia for something in order for us to build weapons that we might need to fight China. So on and on. But maybe they're not so anxious to fight as to have an excuse to spend more money. And you can't say no, because if you say no to military spending, that means you're anti-American, anti-military, and you don't care about national defense. And that argument can be wearing at times, and because I consider it a fallacious argument, and we should be talking about what real national security is all about.
Yeah, remember those simple days when we only had to worry about the global terrorist threat, you know?
Right.
It really is like 1984 when it's, no, we've always been at war with Russia and China. Just forget about the terrorism. But the reason we're talking about today is because President Trump was in Nevada over the weekend, and he said, hey, the Russians are cheating on this treaty, this INF treaty. We're going to get out of it. There's no reason for us to stick around and stay in it. And in fact, really, literally, almost as we speak, President Trump's National Security Advisor, John Bolton, is in Moscow. And apparently, according to at least one news source, he got off the plane and immediately said, what Trump said goes. We're getting out of the treaty. We're getting out of the INF treaty, which, as you point out, was a Reagan-Gorbachev treaty. It was really the beginning of the end of the Cold War in a heavy way, because it was a symbolic move showing some confidence in each other. And it limited, as you say, the development of missiles and missile launchers from a range of between 500 kilometers and 5,000 kilometers. And obviously that was dealing with nuclear weapons in the European field, those weapons, you know, battlefield tactical nukes and those sorts of things. So that's the origin of the treaty. The U.S. says, Russia's cheating. It's secretly developing a missile within that range. So therefore, we need to get out.
And certain groups are supporting Trump. NATO has spoken out. You know, it's Russia's fault. Russia's breaking the rules, and therefore, we have to do something about it. But if you want to check and find out what's happening here in this country, what are the neocons doing? And I think the more radical the neocons are, the more anxious they are. I suspect that Senator Graham, Lindsey Graham, is quite anxious to get out of this treaty and build more weapons and blame Russia for it all. But the neocons, I mean, how could we have a stronger neocon than John Bolton? And, you know, see, that's the relationship that we haven't figured it out, and nobody has. I mean, are the John Boltons in the administration, since there are several, are they really in charge of the foreign policy, or is somebody else in charge of it? They have, they still have Nikki Haley around to help, but they've turned her into a national treasurer already, so you can expect her to be around for a long time.
And indeed, the press reports are that that Bolton is taking credit for persuading Trump to get out of the treaty. So that certainly doesn't surprise. But as you point out, Lindsey Graham, who's now really developed his very loud voice in the absence of his partner, John McCain, has said Trump's doing exactly the right thing. The Russians are cheating. Let's get out of it. On the other side of the Senate, in terms of, you know, some more intellectual heft, I would say is Senator Paul, who was on Fox over the weekend, and he said, you know, I don't know that this is such a good idea. We claim the Russians are cheating. They say they're not. Why don't we sit down and talk about it instead of just unilaterally, you know, taking our marbles and going home? Of course, I'm paraphrasing what he said, but that's the essence of it. Why rush into this?
Well, when you have contracts on the line and reasons to spend more money and reasons never to cut the military budget, you have to have these enemies. I call them warmongers because so often our policies lead to war one place or another. I don't think they consciously sit down and say, yeah, let's see how long we can prolong the war, even though there are some of those. I think that it's just having an enemy, and they can use it. And how it's a good sales job. I mean, they play on the patriotism of the people, the goodness of the American people, because they have been taught to be fearful. You know, look how fearful we became of Saddam Hussein. And the people actually believe that propaganda stuff. And once again, they will scare the people, and they will never attack the weapons buildup, because I believed and said during the Cold War, and nobody's really challenged me because they probably ignored me. But I always thought that, you know, with six good nuclear submarines, we probably could have defended ourselves from the Soviet Union.
Yeah.
You know, because we would have had, they couldn't have done anything without, you know, committing, you know, practically suicide on there.
Yeah.
But no, weapons, short-range missiles, intercontinental, middle-range missiles, more nuclear submarines, more nuclear bombs. They want to rebuild the nuclear stockpile we have. So it's on and on. It's profiteering. And at the same time, we still have problems at home, which is called the deficit. And that is part of it. So even with this pretense, right now we are hearing a little bit of Republican pretense. Oh, we got to cut everything in the budget 5%, except for, well, we can't do interest, we can't do Medicare, we can't do the military. So they're not going to cut anything. As long as you can monetize debt and the insiders benefit, you know, in the monetary system that we have, it's not going to change until the dollar is rejected. And this type of policy is contributing to it. It is. It's not something that lasts forever. Even with the wonderful economic statistics right now, I think that's a deception and a distraction from what's really going on in this country.
Yeah, and the issue of whether Russia's cheating or what's happening is not cut and dried. And, you know, we sort of used to joke when we worked for you on Capitol Hill, when we had a question, there's this entity called the Congressional Research Service, which has always been very good. They're just researchers who dedicate their lives to answering questions from congressional staffers and members of Congress. We would always joke that when you'd call them up with a simple yes or no question, you'd be on for 20 or 30 minutes, because they really are a font of knowledge. And I found a CRS, we call it CRS report, updated in just this month, October of 2018, did a really good summary of the dispute over this treaty. And it does point out the U.S. claims of Russia in violation. But what we don't really often get reported much here in the U.S. is the Russian claims and other claims that the U.S. is in violation of the treaty, which may well be true. And the CRS report points out to three areas of disagreement. First of all, the U.S. missile defense targets. These are missiles that the U.S. produces to test the missile defense interceptors in Europe. So these technically are missiles that can fire in that range. The second point is the armed drones that carry missiles that are within that range, and they are ground launched, you know, so that's what the claim is. And then the third are the land-based deployment of the launchers in places like Poland and Romania. These are we say that's missile defense, shouldn't count, but in fact, launchers and missiles, regardless of whether they're nuclear, conventional, what have you, they are in violation. So there's a pretty good case to be made that we're also in violation of the treaty. The question is, what do we do now? And I think that's where Senator Paul is right. There is a special verification commission under Article 13 of the treaty, which is simply establishes a way to get together and talk, a forum. And it's been invoked before. If so, if they were concerned about getting a better deal or solving this issue, you know, they could simply, convoke this commission, sit down, and talk it out. But I guess that's not as exciting.
Well, I think there's a definite strategy of provoking Russia. You know, this whole thing on the election was designed, you know, to blame Russia. They're not angels, but I'll tell you what, all this thing going on is starting to show that it was all probably based on a bunch of lies and bad information. But I think the thing that you mentioned is also very important, and I think if you try to put ourselves in the position of Russia, and then the agreement after World War II of where the lines were drawn and where we had NATO, and NATO, even though it wasn't in concrete, the implication and the understanding was that NATO was not, going to march right up to the borders of Russia. And in essence, that's what we have done. And like you say, that changes the distance that the missile has to go. Yeah. So it's something that if you look at both sides, you should have a better understanding. But the whole thing is there's probably something all above all this strategy talking, and that is two people talking to each other and getting along. I mean, Trump has wanted to have some trade arguments with Canada, but in a way, we're not having this type of conversation. No. Because it just happens that that we're friends, and most of the countries of the world are friends and not threatening nuclear weapons. But it seems like those who want to run the show to be the superpower of the world is a big deal. It was a big deal before we shared it with the Soviets. Without the Soviets, now we've been the kingpin of the world, and it goes on and on about who's going to survive all this. And I think there's people seeing some weak spots in the viability of our empire, and that changes, and other people are lining up. Right now, it isn't just the larger powers. There's a lot of other powers that are thinking about, well, we better, you know, get ready and defend ourselves and have the weapons. Just look at the weapons industries, how well they develop, how much they benefited by how many weapons did they sell to the Middle East over the last 20 years. It's horrendous.
And the people that John Bolton hangs around with, the people like them, they're in and out of the revolving doors of Lockheed Martin and all of the defense contractors, the weapons builders. So they know which side their bread is buttered on. And if you're going to ignite a new nuclear arms race with Russia, you're talking, and we've already talked about the nuclear modernization program. It's a $1 trillion program. I think that's probably just a down payment on what it's going to ultimately cost. But you're talking about completely revamping the U.S. nuclear weapons labs in New Mexico and in California. You're talking about rebuilding all of the infrastructure. You're talking about returning to 1975 or something. That's going to cost a lot of money. It's going to give John Bolton's friends a lot of very well-paid jobs. And I think that really is partially, at least, at the core of what this is about.
See, and for me, the problem isn't complicated. They'd have to just change one bit of philosophy in our foreign policy, in that we should provide for defense and be prepared if anybody attacked us. But most of this money that we're spending and all this we're talking about has nothing to do with defense. As a matter of fact, it undermines our national security and it helps bankrupt our country. There's no real benefit, but it doesn't. If we didn't spend all this money for policing the world, we wouldn't be less safe. We've been threatened more by terrorism and other things like this, which we get involved in because we're interventionists. And if we thought about defending the country, which is a lot less complicated than policing the world and being the world policeman, this whole thing about Khashoggi, that looks like we're the police. If you ever want to talk about the policeman of the world, I think of that incident where you're talking about, well, two people, somebody got murdered. Oh, we're the policemen of the world, you know, so we have to go do something. So that's not a good idea. I don't like being a part of being the policeman of the world. That means I don't care. It just means that there would be less violence in the world if we didn't pretend that we had the moral authority and all the money and weapons and the power, that everybody would do it our way because we are kingpins and we are the police, so you better behave.
And, you know, Nikki Haley, you mentioned her earlier, she just declared it. New sheriff is in town, you know. She literally is a policeman of the world. But the irony is, and this is the case, I think, with all of the global chessboard type of people who believe these sorts of things that the U.S. has a role to play in moving things around, it never goes as planned. And I think the ultimate effect, because you rightly said, we probably didn't spend enough time on this, but China, I think, is really has a lot to do with this. China's not a party to the treaty. The U.S. is very concerned because we need to build missiles in the South China Sea to hit China. But ultimately, what this does is it pushes others together to counterbalance this aggressive U.S. foreign policy. And in this case, China and Russia are going to get together if the U.S. pulls out of this treaty. They're going to get stronger. They're going to want to challenge the U.S. authority. Unfortunately, the other thing that we didn't get to talk about, which is interesting, is the president, how he unilaterally seems to have the authority to cancel treaties, and that's a big question mark, and that has to do with Congress abrogating its responsibilities. But I do want to, for myself, close by mentioning Dr. Paul. Just before we went on, we talked about this. Our show last week, when we started talking about the Khashoggi incident, they talked about the threats. That show on Monday, about $400 a barrel oil, is now at about 130,000 views, which is very good for a pretty, hopefully, serious news show. So thanks to you for watching it. Please recommend our show to others. Like and subscribe. We can defeat the mainstream media's clampdown on alternative views and alternative perspectives, but we can only do it with your help. So thank you for being here. Please help us spread the word.
Very good. And I want to follow up on something Daniel said, and that has to do with, what will the ramifications be of what's going on right now in our dealings with China and different countries. And people will move and change their attitude. Because I think with the policy of interventionism, you can't predict the unintended consequences. You say, well, we do this. Almost always throughout history when there are wars, that the wars never go as intended. And even this preparation for war and this plan for intervention overseas never goes exactly the way it's supposed to go. Unintended things prop up. Then also the one thing that has been talked about, but it was supposed to be only in secret, and the CIA was supposed to be the only people that knew about blowback. There is blowback. There is a consequence if we overstep our pounds. So if we throw our weight around, spend a lot of money picking sides, getting involved in elections, and putting on sanctions on some, and getting involved in elections, and then blaming everybody else for getting involved in ours, and we've been involved in so many elections and coups around the world, people just need to know, you know what's going on and put it into a perspective, and they need to be reassured that you don't have to get more scared if all of a sudden they accepted this non-interventionist foreign policy, because quite frankly, it's not going to be more dangerous. That's just a ploy on their part to make you scared and frightened to go along with the military-industrial complex and globalism and all this internationalism, which is a total failure. So if we keep our eye on the ball and what we're supposed to be all about, and that is having a republic which is dedicated to individual liberty instead of interference in other people's lives, interference in the economy, and interference in the internal affairs of other nations, believe me, we could help make this world a much better place in which to live. I want to thank everybody for tuning in today to the Liberty Report. Please come back soon.